Welcome to Day 19 of My Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are reading from Genesis chapter 22 through Genesis 24 from the New American Standard Bible. And today we will embark on a chapter that is one of the most profound revelations of a man of God being tested in the area of his faith in the word of the Lord. And this great test that Abraham has to pass in his relationship with God cements forever his trust in a God who will only do right in his life. So we are beginning at Genesis 22, verse 1, New American Standard Bible. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Now it came about after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor, Uz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Ruma, also bore Teba and Gaham and Tahash and Makah. Chapter 23. Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham rose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our graves. None of us will refuse you his grave for burying your dead. So Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, If it is your wish for me to bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and approach Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence for a burial site. Now Ephron was sitting among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, even of all who went in at the gate of a city, saying, No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the presence of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. And Abraham bowed before the people of the land. He spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you will only please listen to me, I will give the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Then Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between me and you? So bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standard. So Ephron's field, which was in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field and cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field, that were within all the confines of its border, were deeded over to Abraham for a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field at Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded over to Abraham for a burial site by the sons of Heth. Chapter 24. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had owned, Please, place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, Suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? Then Abraham said to him, Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, To your descendants I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this my oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels in gold and said, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. Again she said to him, we have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in. Then the man bowed low and worshiped the Lord. He said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. When he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister saying, this is what the man said to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels? So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the feet of the men who were with him. But when food was set before him to eat, he said, I will not eat until I have told my business. And he said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, so that he has become rich. And he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. I said to my master, suppose the woman does not follow me. He said to me, the Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you to make your journey successful, and you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives, and if they do not give her to you, you'll be free from my oath. So I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will make my journey on which I go successful, behold, I'm standing by the spring, and may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw, and to whom I say, please let me have a little water from your jar, and she will say to me, you drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So now, if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, let me know, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, the matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterward she may go. He said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahoi Roy, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, he is my master. Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the end of today's reading. In today's Bible reading, we heard one of the most profound faith tests in the entire Bible. This amazing story that begins with the words that God tested Abraham. So we know that the test truly came from the Lord Himself. And what was this test that God administered to Abraham? This was a test of whether God was truly number one in Abraham's life. It was the test to see if the promise, which was Isaac, had become greater than the giver of the blessing. You know, a lot of times we believe God and trust God to bless us in a certain way. And then when the blessing comes, it can be that the blessing takes priority over the blessor, which it should not be like that in our lives. We should always praise God for the blessings He allows in our lives, but the one who gives us the blessing is the only one worthy of our adoration and our worship. We know that Abraham adored his son, loved his son Isaac, the son of his old age, the son that gave him such great joy when he received a promise to be a father of a multitude of nations through this son Isaac, the son of his beloved wife Sarah. And then came the test. We don't know how old Isaac was at this point, but we know that God asked for Abraham to come and surrender the most precious thing in his life. There are times in our lives when God tests us, when God puts his finger on something that maybe has become so dear to us, to the point where maybe we honor it and love it and desire it more than the Lord. And that's something that God will point out in our life and call us to surrender it. It may be a career path that God sees is not his will, or sees is not going to be a blessing, or it's not the timing of the Lord, and God tests you to see if you'll surrender it. It may be a relationship. It may be any number of things where the Lord is testing you to see where your heart is. And you know, the thing I've learned about tests from the Lord is it's not God lacking information. It's God showing us what's in our hearts so often. And we find here that Abraham passed this amazing test that he had to deal with. It was serious. It was a heavy thing. And yet God was indeed testing him. I love this quote that I found, and I don't know the author of it, but it's a profound statement, and it is this: God brings men into deep waters not to drown them, but to cleanse them. And I believe that's the case. There's a clarifying work going on in Abraham's heart. I'm sure there was a battle. I'm sure that he may have even wavered in his heart as to whether he could obey God in this thing that seemed so very hard for God to ask of him. Was God intending that Abraham kill his son? Absolutely not. But it was certainly testing his heart. And it's amazing. The test was so profound for Abraham that it's commented on in the New Testament, where in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, 18, and 19, it says this: by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him back in a figurative sense. This is a profound statement from the writer of the New Testament, saying that this thing that occurred in Abraham's life, it was a test. Abraham passed the test. When he was tested, he offered up Isaac obediently to the Lord. I am quite sure Abraham could not understand why on earth God would ask such a thing when he had promised Isaac as a blessing to his life. He promised him to be the one that his multitudes of descendants would come through his line. And he knew if he offered him up, that would be the end of it. Except that he concluded, as the scripture says, that God was able to raise him up from the dead if he had to make his own word come to pass. So we see that Abraham believed God in every possible way. He believed God to receive the promise, and then he believed God after he received the promise and was asked to surrender the promise that he could resurrect the promise again. Let me tell you something that I have learned about the Lord. There are seasons in our lives when the Lord asks us to lay down a promise that he's made to us, and years may go by, and it may seem like the death of the promise or the vision that you had. The dream may seem dead to you now, even as it seemed like this was the end and the death of Isaac and the death of the promise of a multitude of descendants from Abraham's line. Do you know God is able to raise up from the dead the vision he gave you years ago, the dream he gave you years ago, the promise he made to you years ago? Abraham concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And that is the conclusion that Abraham came to, that God is good and that God keeps his word and that God never lies. And if God said he's going to make Abraham have descendants that are as multitudinous as the sands on the seashore or the stars in the sky, and it's going to be through Isaac, and Isaac dies right here on this altar, I don't know how it's going to work out, Abraham thought, but I trust God is able to make it work out if he has to raise him from the dead. But he knew God required obedience to walk with him. Abraham had passed the test in the very beginning when God told him to leave his family, leave his place that he knew, leave his home, leave the area that he was raised in, and go to a place he did not know. Abraham trusted and obeyed. Abraham believed God when God said that Sarah was going to have a son. He wavered at first, we know, but when he took hold of that word, the scriptures tell us that he didn't waver when he even considered his own body as being dead, and yet that God was able to somehow bring this to pass. So we see Abraham's faith developing over the time that we've been reading these chapters in Genesis, and now the ultimate faith test has come to Abraham, where he's asked to offer up, surrender, lay on the altar the very promise that he received from the Lord by faith. And now he's to surrender it by faith, put it on the altar by faith, believing that God was good no matter what this looked like. There may be a situation right now in your life where you know the Lord has been dealing with your heart, that you're just to lay the situation on the altar. Take your hands off of it. Stop trying to make it work in your own strength and just let the Lord deal with it. And maybe you have to just walk away, and you have to believe like Abraham. Conclude that God's able to raise from the dead if he has to. Any and every situation, every dream, every vision of your heart. But you have to trust that God's good and not despair. You have to trust that God's word is true. You have to trust that he's a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God, and that you are not to despair or doubt or become afraid that you'll never see that promise come to pass. You have to just put it into the hands of God. And that offering on the altar is a symbolic of surrender of the thing dearest to his heart. Are you willing? Are you at a place with the Lord in your life that if God said, give that to me, you would have no problem like Abraham packing up and going and bringing it to the Lord the very day he says so? We see Abraham's obedience was swift and it was complete. There wasn't hesitation. He didn't argue with God. He just obeyed and did it. And the Lord saw it and was so pleased. Now I know, the Lord said to him, now I know that you haven't withheld your son, your only son. Now I know. I love that. God saw it, and he showed it even to Abraham about himself, that he had developed such a relationship with the Lord that he really was a worshiper of God. He really feared the Lord in the sense of he reverenced God above all things. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Can God say that about our lives? Is it true about our lives? Maybe we haven't faced that test yet. But you know, God wants us to be able to be like Abraham in that way, where there is nothing, even the dearest things in our lives, that we hold above God. And I love this picture that after he surrendered the thing that was dearest to him, and the Lord stopped him and said, okay, that's enough. Don't harm the child. Now I know that you fear the Lord. And Abraham turned around and looked, and behold, a ram was caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham took the ram and offered him as a burnt offering. And then he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And God will provide for you the grace, the ability to trust God. But you know, grace gives you power to trust and believe and stand when you in your own strength could not stand, could not trust, could not believe. I pray for myself, Lord, give me the grace to believe and to trust you in every area of my life. Give me the grace to be a person that just honors you above everything, and that there's nothing in my heart that comes before you. I want that to be true about myself, and I pray that for you as well. And in it, the Lord will provide everything you need to be able to walk this walk of faith, if you will just rely on him for the strength and the grace to do it. God wants that type of faith that Abraham demonstrated for us in this chapter operating in all of our lives, because then God can do wonders through us. And as a result of Abraham's faith, his trust, his reliance, his absolute obedience, because faith and obedience work together. They go hand in hand. You can't say you trust the Lord and then when he tells you to do something, you won't do it because you're afraid of whatever it is. You're afraid to obey, afraid what God will do. That's not a true faith or trust in the Lord. Faith and obedience work together. And God wants us to be a people who trust him and therefore will obey him in any and every situation. Abraham was that kind of a believer. God wants us to be that kind of believers as well. He wants us all to pass the faith test when it comes. And it will come to everyone who walks with the Lord. In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, it says this: in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And that word trials there is tests. You've been grieved by various tests, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants our faith to be a genuine faith, that though it's even tested by fire, comes out to be a praise to the Lord and brings honor to the Lord, that people can see the reality of it in our lives. We see this in Abraham. We will see it as we progress in Genesis in Joseph, because the scripture tells us about him, that Joseph, who was sold as a slave, the word of the Lord tested him, because he had had a promise. Like Abraham had a promise about Isaac, Joseph also had a promise about his future. And then he ended up in a situation, sold as a slave, that it looked like that future would never come to pass. And it says he was afflicted his feet were in fetters, meaning he was chained and in prison until the time that his word, the word the Lord had given him came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The promise that he had held on to was being sorely tested in his own heart because the circumstances didn't look like that word would ever happen. The same with Abraham, the same with you. God wants you to hold fast to the word of the Lord. Trust that the God who made the promise is good, and that he is faithful, and that he never fails, and that he is able, if necessary, to resurrect from the dead the dream he's given you, the vision he's given you, the promise he has given to you. And when it is said and done, it will bring praise to his name in your life. God bless you. Just rely on the Lord for grace to walk during this season of your life so that when you are tested, your faith will come forth as a praise to the Lord. Have a great week.